Good morning, everybody. So it's really nice to see you all this morning. You know, when I open my mouth, I'm going to insert my foot. Just warning you. There are apparent contradictions in Zen. Which doesn't really exist, but that's unspoken, not something that can be discussed and brought into the realm of thinking and intellectualization. I'd like to talk this morning about right action. And when I use those words, right action, something comes to your mind. Just drop it. Another way of saying that for me is leaning into it. So when we're sitting, we're not having breakfast. We're sitting. We're not planning our day. We're just sitting. When we're planning our day, we're planning our day. So ultimately, in the area of beyond words and not being able to talk about it, no self. The contradiction is we have to take care of ourselves. Only a contradiction in the mind that is divided with the idea of self and no self. So don't worry about it. Ideas, like everything else, come and go. The six paramitas are the actualization of right action. They are generosity, moral conduct or ethics, patience, diligence, meditation, and wisdom. And we say there are six, but are there really six? Again, from that place of beyond words, no, there are not six. But in the realm of taking care of ourselves, we say there are six. The wise one doesn't identify with six. Recognizes that this is just like a rake to rake the lawn. You use it. For me, the one that comes up for me about right action is diligence. Or when we're sitting like our hair's on fire, which represents a certain kind of urgency. Well, again, this is a word and a thought that rises in your mind when I say that. So if your mind is based on fear of life, fear of the next action, then what I say will have much different meaning than if you are thinking, whatever's next is next. It's an adventure. It's part of this experience, and I'm ready. So there's all these different ways we talk about this experience, but don't get caught up in those things. Don't get caught up in my words and interpret them and then try to, you know, come up with some version of it for yourself. That's why some Zen masters just rely on a stick and holding up the stick. What's this? See my imaginary stick? Leaning into it. Our life experience. So why? Obviously, life is short. You don't know how long you're going to be on this planet, this moment. So making the most of this moment, we can talk about it. Let's make the most of this moment. But how you interpret that in your current idea of what life is a whole lot different than when you're cooking, you're just cooking. When you're chopping vegetables, you're chopping vegetables. When you're driving the car, you're driving the car. That's different than putting this other layer on it. Damn person getting in my way over there, and this is happening and that's happening. And, you know, if they would just stop developing, then I wouldn't have to deal with all this traffic. And, you know, we just keep building and building and creating for ourselves our miserable state of being. Come back, come back, just come back. Lean into it. Do what's right in front of you. When you're sitting, just sit. It's okay. You get a chance to eat, to sleep, you know, whatever it is you want to do next. My first reaction often to something that feels like an interference to my sense of peace, when I have that reaction, like, oh, shit. If I'm lucky, wisdom comes in and says, oh, there you are, identifying with this idea of peace that you're having, which is really not peace. It's really dis-ease. It's really this place that you're kind of hanging out in because you're afraid. You're not leaning into life. You're backing away from it. Oh, no. There it is. So maybe a little sense of humor, like I'm laughing, but you know, it's not always funny, is it? You know, but maybe a little sense of humor in those times would be helpful. So I'm really trying to talk about taking care of ourselves and not getting caught up in an intellectualization of what Zen Buddhism is, and trying to adopt it and replace our dysfunctional views with some other dysfunctional view, but just recognize what it is we're doing in this moment. And then if it needs to change, you change it or not, or you just go, oops, you know, stubbed my toe, stuck my foot in my mouth. The nice thing about it is you always get another opportunity. So if you screw up this moment, there's always going to be another one. And every time you get it right, every time your action is right action, your karma is changing. Your direction of your life is changing. So, you know, you might have to lean into these perfections at different times and focus on a certain aspect, like diligence. You know, for me, that happens to be, you know, that's important right now. But sometimes generosity, you know, to get over myself, to be generous. Sometimes moral conduct just means, you know, taking that diligence into that place. Same with the generosity, bringing it into this place of acting appropriately. And then wisdom, you see, you pull that in too. So these things that we sort of separate and say, well, they're over here and this is over there, nonsense. They're all part of the same stream of your life. You're in this stream. Bring it together. Use it. You know, trust yourself, even though you don't have one. That's a good one. Trust yourself, even though you don't have one. Something so profound about that. You know, but if you just say that in a casual conversation to somebody, they'll think you're crazy. So again, you know, when I say I stick my foot in my mouth, I really do. Because quite often, from my perspective, it makes perfect sense. But to someone else, it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? So, you know, sometimes we just have to be ordinary here in this world and take care of things right in front of us, just the way they are. And that's great. What else is there to do but take care of your life right where it is? You know, you can dream about it being something different. Where's that going to get you? I mean, maybe you can be inspired to make some changes by, you know, it's like dreaming about being a Buddha. Problem is, you're already a Buddha. So how's that working for you? So that's what came up for me this morning. I had no idea what I was going to talk to you guys about today, except in my own life, that's what's going on. Is this, you know, pay attention, Will. Diligence. Don't stick your foot in your mouth. You know, pay attention. Work with what you got. Don't try to be somewhere else. So. You got to take the long view, right? You can't just get caught up in the little storm that's going on in the moment. Thoughts?
Yeah, but when I get to right action, I think what is right or wrong? You know, different people have a different set of standards, even different countries, cultures.
Yeah.
And hearing you talk, it kind of changes. I was trying to intellectualize right from wrong. But with what you're saying, the way I interpret it is right would be right now. Yes. You know what you're doing with the intention of those things.
Yeah.
And just immerse yourself in that.
Yes.
When your right action is your right.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad that you heard that. Yeah, thank you.
I'll take away from that.
You're welcome.
You might know stainless paramitas again.
Yeah. So the six paramitas are, and they're also on the website, by the way. There's a whole little explanation of them from another Zen master. But it's generosity, moral conduct or ethics, patience. That's another one we could focus on because of what I was talking about diligence and paying attention, and patience comes in there too. Patience, then diligence, or, you know, again, you could say right action, diligence, leaning into it, and then meditation. And wisdom. And they're all part of the same stream. So you can't have one without the other.
The Sanskrit term, which is one of the eight limbs of Ashtanga, Satya, which is truth.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we're taking like Sanskrit and, you know, making it English. And the closest translation, I believe, is benevolent truthfulness, which is different than truth.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow the term gets tied to karma because karma is essentially action. So benevolent truthfulness as opposed to truth is ever changing according to what's most beneficial. For years I've just when the moment is right, I contemplate that and what that means and how present one could really be to be beneficial and how what that requires.
Yeah.
The ability to respond appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
Or not like in a rote way, but you're responding in an actual way to what is most beneficial.
Yes.
So my coming to grips with what right action is probably in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like to what you were speaking about, there is this kind of like the conceptual pursuits that we have regarding our lives and our spirituality and everything like that. It's so easy to be led astray and instantly, because I could walk in here, if you were wearing a robe, I'd be like, oh well, I guess one day I should wear a robe. Or I come in and I see your beautiful Buddha and Anwar, and I'm like, well, I suppose if I'm going to be a good Buddhist, then I should get one of those and put it in, and then I can be real, right? Or, you start doing meditation and you start realizing that it's not what you thought it was, and then there's, am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? And, there's so many ways to conjure up like our spiritual understandings and pursue them, even though the thing is already, there's nothing else you have to do in order to get, you're already there, you just can see it.
I like what you said about benevolent truth. That's a beautiful way of expressing it. I think about, when I think about the first paramita, generosity, generosity of spirit, generosity of, to me, that's benevolence. That's like, how can I help? What's here? What's really here? And so that part of it is the gentle part. It's the part that, the diligence part is the part for you to not get stuck, right? It's like, oh, there's that, there's that intellectualization, there's thinking that, and sitting in meditation, for example, and recognizing, well, obviously that's not Buddha. Obviously those robes don't matter because I just had lunch with him and he's a regular asshole. And so, there's all of that. So, you have to trust yourself, real self, which is not real.
I think we talk about duality a lot, and it's easy to get caught up in the right action all the time. And then when you look at the reverse side of that, well, all the times I've been selfish rather than generous, all the times I've been whatever, right? Unwise, really foolish, and whatever else. At the same time, I have to recognize, well, that is still part of the journey, though. Like, if I didn't have those moments, then I wouldn't be able to perfect the other part, which is the way that I have been, by getting so deep into my own foolishness or my own selfishness. So like the reverse of that is now I can be more benevolent because I have seen the other side of what it's like. So it's having both be in two streams at once, you know, of the flow, and just not getting caught up in either.
Yeah. And the difficult part about that is they look like different streams, but they're just the same stream.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, when Buddha fundamentally says that enlightenment happens in delusion. Without delusion, you don't have enlightenment. So you can't separate them in that sense. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, essentially we're all from the same monk, right? I mean, it's like I also responded to the talk today in the same way. And it's, and while one may say it well, I always enjoy your talks. I admire your ability to illustrate this. But you coming here and speaking to us and all of us responding in this kind of individual personality way of like, oh, well, I can't believe he just said that because, you know, it's one mind, right? It's the same muck.
Yeah, it is.
You said let it run. What are you thinking about when you say let it run?
You can't really stop thinking.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Don't try. Just stop.
Yeah. But it's the you know, grabbing on and following is the part where, you know, letting it run is like not grabbing on and following.
If you study, so I like science. If you're studying science, they say the fourth dimension is seeing outside of space and time. So we live in a three-dimensional world with cube. The fourth dimension would be watching from outside of that. So when you see your thoughts racing by, don't get caught up in them, take a step back and watch them from outside of, like, I know that maybe it's a little too metaphysical, but, you know, just watch them from outside of this experience. Just take it for what it is.
I like it.
because that's the same thing as awareness.
Sure.
Yeah, I find myself needing to go someplace like that, the place of awareness, or that fourth dimension, or that third eye, because if it's always a battle between let it go, not let it go, get absorbed, let it go, get absorbed, let it go. I don't think there's a solution. You have to find a different place to do both going on at the same time.
Yeah, so getting back to in open mouth, insert foot. So conceptually, you know, because we have to use words and we have to use our conceptual thinking in order to communicate, which is what we do. But the tricky part is, what is it we're communicating? We're communicating a lot, actually. We're communicating what we think life is, you know, how we perceive it, and also, you know, what we understand and don't understand. Everything is being communicated. It's so funny how strongly identified we are with our own view. And we don't recognize it as a view. It's like, to us, it becomes real. Again, back to the thoughts, you know. You don't realize you're on that train of thoughts. You're just there, and it becomes who you are. It's the self of no self. No self is that fourth dimension. Okay. Let's call it a day. Thank you.